In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. On this Cheese Fair Saturday, the Church prepares us for our Lenten struggle, which begins on Monday. And today we celebrate the memory of all of the venerable and God-bearing fathers and mothers who have shone in the ascetic life, talking about all of the monastic saints from the last 2,000 years, from, you know, St. Anthony the Great, a founder of Orthodox or Christian monasticism, and of so many others, as the Holy Mother Syncletiki, who was another monastic in the desert at the same time, roughly, as St. Anthony. But she struggled as a woman. So both men and women are honored today for their struggle in the ascetic life. And also we have two readings today to prepare us. The first one in honor of those monastic saints, and I'll come back to it, the epistle reading from Galatians. And then the gospel reading from Matthew sets the stage actually for tomorrow's gospel. The readings are laid out in sequence so that if you came every day, you would have this really massive preparation. Of course, if you aren't able to come to church every day, you can still follow along with the lectionary using the calendar of the readings and reading them at home. Today we have this gospel reading that tells us not to give alms before men so that you can be seen by them. And this word giving alms is really doing works of mercy, meaning all of those acts of charity by which we care for those in need, those acts of service by which we care for those in need. And there's a danger, we know, of our pride getting caught up in those things when we do them in such a way to draw attention to ourselves. The Lord talks about those who sound the trumpet when they're going to give a gift in order to be praised by men. But if you do that, then you're doing that work of service for the sake of other people, and your reward will come from the other people, the praise and adulation that you get from them. But if you want to be rewarded by God for your good works, do them secretly. The Lord says, make it such a secret that your left hand doesn't even know what your right hand is doing. Make it a truly intense secret. And in fact, in a sense, we hide it from ourselves by keeping in mind that our good works are no great deal. That our good works are merely passing on the good things that God has given us. We didn't create those good things. God created them, He gave them to us, and we pass them on to others. So do your good works in secret. Also fast in secret. Fast in secret so that your fasting is not seen by men. Don't wear a dismal face while you're fasting, you know, and show people how you're suffering. Don't talk to other people about your fasting, but rather go on in your daily life as if you weren't fasting, even though you are. And again, your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And pray in secret. Don't pray on the street corners, you know, in a loud voice. Don't pray like the Pharisee that we heard about on a Sunday a couple weeks ago, who the Lord said prayed with himself. He wasn't even praying to God, he was praying to himself by praising himself in these grand words to God. But instead, go and pray in secret. Pray in private. Pray, most importantly, in the recesses of your heart, so that your prayer will be heard by God because it's directed to Him. So that's what we learn from today's gospel, but in the epistle, we have some other things to learn. Toward the end of that epistle, St. Paul writes, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Look to yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Now, this is something that I think makes us nervous. This idea that if we see someone who is caught in sin, that we should do something about it. We would normally we would think, I should keep my opinion to myself. I mean, when I say we, I mean even us who are trying to be, to live a Christian life and trying to be humble and trying to be loving and kind, we think, oh, well, we'll just let him deal with his stuff and I'll deal with my stuff. Of course, there's another error that I don't think any of you would fall into, but some people might fall into the other error of being eager to correct other people in their sins, right? So there's two opposite errors here that we can fall into. Being eager to correct other people, which of course comes from pride, the same vice that our Lord warns us about in the gospel. But then on the other hand, a kind of over-humility that prevents us from helping other people who are caught in sin. We have to be very careful then to read exactly what St. Paul is saying. First of all, what comes at the end? Bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. This is the whole motivation that should be behind our reaching out to other people when we see that they're stuck in sin, that we are trying to help them. Not help them by fixing them. That's another error that's dangerous, that mentality, trying to fix other people. But walking alongside them and bearing their burden with them. He says, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Remember what Christ said? He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my burden is easy, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Our Lord walks beside us, helping us to carry our burdens, right? Even though he is sinless. I mean, if anyone has a right to come and sort of wag their finger at us, it's Jesus, because he's sinless. But instead, he walks beside us, carrying that burden along with us. And that's what we're called to do in imitation of him. Now, before that, Paul says, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, doesn't mean if someone just sort of slips up, if we sort of see someone sort of make a little mistake. It means if we see that someone is in a real spiritual crisis, you know, if they're in real danger, in a danger that they can't get themselves out of. If they're overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual should restore him. So we need to look at ourselves first and see if we're prepared to reach out. And of course, in our humility, we may never think that we're totally prepared. But it's a matter of being aware that our spiritual life, we have to have the spiritual resources there in order to help other people if we want to do that. So we have to have our eyes open. You know, Most of us know Psalm 50 by heart, the great Psalm of Repentance. And in it, Saint David, the king who was repenting at that time of his great sins of murder and adultery, he first of all cries out to God to heal him. You know, turn thy face away from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and with thy governing spirit establish me. But then what does he go on to say? Then shall I teach transgressors thy ways. So teaching other people to repent is based on our own repentance, and based on the healing work that we ask God to do in our own lives. Only based on that can we then teach transgressors his ways. And then, of course, as we try to restore others, we should do it in a spirit of gentleness, in a spirit of love, a spirit of humility. Again, taking the other person's burden on ourselves, not putting ourselves above the other person. And of course, because of all of these dangers that exist at that moment, of us being filled with pride, or even of us getting caught up in the other person's sin, we should be vigilant, looking to ourselves, lest we also be tempted. So the reason why the church gives us this epistle reading today is not just to prepare us for Lent, which it does help to prepare us for Lent, but also to honor the memory of our venerable and God-bearing fathers and mothers, those ascetic saints who taught the world the ways of repentance after they themselves had intensely practiced repentance. And so doing, they brought salvation to so many people, even to us today. Because of their legacy, because of their writings, because of their teachings and their example, which persist to this day. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, let us go into Lent intensely seeking our own salvation, but also preparing ourselves so that we can be a blessing and a benefit to our struggling brothers and sisters throughout the world. Helping them also to repent and draw near to God, to whom be glory, honor, and worship, to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.